This is the Nightly News Show. Join Jay the Man and the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only Ranks on the Disclosure Media Network.
Oh, yeah.
Not all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. What'd I do?
What?
Oh, shit. I screwed up.
Jesus.
Jason, come on. Get it together, man. Well, folks, hello and good evening to those of you listening on our live streams from YouTube, Ustream, and TuneIn. And, of course, all of you that download our podcast on iTunes and Podomatic, and now on SoundCloud and Spreaker. This is the Nightly News Podcast. I'm Jason, and also along for the ride is Rags.
What up?
Again, folks, don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube channel, on our YouTube channel, by going to youtube.disclosuremedia.net. Tonight, it's Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. It's the last day of the month, Rags. Are you ready? Are you ready?
No more Eyes of March.
Are you ready to go to April?
Well, because, you know, tomorrow, everything can happen.
April 1st.
That's right.
You know, we were supposed to have the Iran deal today, and that didn't happen, right?
Iran!
Okay,
I ran so far away.
Yeah, that's a great song. I love that song. I'm kind of running with a new setup tonight, so hopefully audio and everything is good for everyone out there. Hopefully it's good for you on your end, Rags. Can I get an audio check from you so I can everything looks clear?
Thank you very much.
Yep, you're a little loud, so let me bring you down.
Bring it
just
down
a little.
Bring it down.
There you are.
Bring it downtown.
Okay. All right, folks. So we got some great topics lined up for you this evening. I'm going to start off with our first one here. As soon as I get to it, and this one was pretty. I saw this on another website, and I was like, "Wow, this is pretty interesting." But an Ohio judge says there will be no mentioning of the Constitution in her courtroom. Today, in a pretrial hearing, an Ohio judge casually agreed with a motion filed by a prosecutor asking to ban a defendant from bringing up the United States Constitution or the constitutionality of the law under which he is charged with a crime. Judge Catherine Barber stated, quote, "There will be no mentioning of the Constitution," and then laughed when the defendant claimed that uttering the words on a public sidewalk constitutes free speech. The audio of the hearing can be found on our website. Just go to disclosuremedia.net and you can hear the audio. This was in response to a suggestion from the prosecutor that bringing up the Constitution and civil rights will, quote, confuse the jury. A little backstory. About a month ago, Virgil Vaduva, I'm probably messed his name up, but he's a journalist and he's an editor of the Greene County Herald, and he purposefully stood in front of the Xenia police station in an attempt to raise awareness about the constitutionality of the city's anti-panhandling law. I guess they have a law there where you can't panhandle, and I guess this guy is claiming free speech, I guess you could say, when he asks for people for money. I don't know, Rags, what do you think about this one? Where the judge says, you won't be talking the Constitution in my courtroom.
Well, I mean, right there is the difference. Now, a lot of cities have panhandling laws.
Correct.
And the thing is, was he soliciting money? If you're soliciting money.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, and I think this is where people are getting, I know this made the rounds today. I read the article too earlier in the day. Since it made the rounds amongst all the CT sites and everybody else around them. Of course, freedom lovers everywhere. And nobody's a bigger freedom lover than me or anybody else or the Constitution.
Does the Constitution give you the right to stand on the on a sidewalk and ask for money?
No, it does not. Actually, believe it or not. Now, remember, there's unlawful assembly. Now, there's certain aspects that, you know, go there. But when you actually have a panhandling law and you're actually panhandling, or what's considered panhandling means that you're asking money from others, you're breaking the law. I mean, he could have – so the it's not about the Constitution at this point. It's about the law that was broken. So, you know, I mean, there's,
well, I guess he's saying the law itself is unconstitutional, I guess is what he was trying to prove.
Yeah,
I guess,
know,
what he's trying to prove anyway.
And I kind of get where this guy was going, but again, I think he chose the wrong.
Well, I don't know if he chose the wrong way. I think he chose the right way to get exposure.
Well, he chose the right way, and obviously,
and the judge,
reporter, he's trying to get this emphasized on there. I just, that's a tough one. You know, again, it's like this. It's like we want to look at, we cannot use the Constitution to abstract laws. In other words, the panhandling law is in effect. This guy, I believe, if I'm right, he went undercover to try to expose this panhandling.
Yeah, he went right in front of the Xenia City Hall and basically had a sign that said, help the poor, need food money, need money for food.
Freedom of speech is holding a sign and having the freedom of speech to do it. But once you start to collect money involved, then you've broken the law. There's nothing, it has nothing to do with the Constitution. I mean, see, that's that point where we have to look at it. This guy is willfully, purposely going out there. Now, if he would have went out there, hey, if I would have went out there and said, Jesus lives, is that panhandling? No, because I didn't ask for money. If I would have went out there and says, panhandling, should this be stopped?
What if a church did it?
What's that?
What if a church did it?
That's what, if a church did it?
What if a church went out on the corner and asked for money?
Still panhandling.
Would they get, come on now, you think they would say something to the church?
Have a church try it. Somebody should, the reporter should have had the church do it to see what happened, take it to another extent. How about, you know, so that's the, but the thing is, the law is the law. It has nothing to do with the Constitution.
I think they pick and choose. Because the reason this law is around, just because they say they have a problem with panhandles, I guess, in the city.
You know.
I don't know. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. The way, I mean, I could see how to circumvent, and it made everybody get up, you know, obviously, with a saying there's no mention of the Constitution. Well, I tell you, on appeal to a Supreme Court, well, that's going to be changed. I mean, if there was actually something, but the bottom point is that he wasn't defending free speech. He was panhandling once he asked for money. There's a difference.
Well, why wouldn't they want him to bring up the Constitution in front of the jury?
Is what they're trying to say is that because the Constitution has no bearing on this case. And that's what
so
they're
let the
to
prosecutor
say.
Argue that. Aren't you allowed to bring up a case?
And don't get me wrong. I you know, now that's where it's
where do they get
in
banning what
you see what I'm saying? That's where it's going to get won on appeal.
Yeah, you can't ban what someone can bring in as defense.
Yeah, you
right?
Know, it's. But I'm not sure if he was defending himself. I don't know the ins and outs. But
well, he got arrested. He got arrested. He got charged.
No. I understand that. What I'm saying is I'm not sure if the journalist was representing himself. Was it the attorney for the newspaper?
You.
I have no clue.
Right.
Okay, do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's where the difference comes in. So, and like I said, after that, the prosecutor in this case – well, and the judge, it would get thrown up to – it would be bumped up to another court because it would – they would lose – they would lose on appeal. He'll win back a judgment on appeal.
Right. Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Talk about constitutional right. By mentioning the Constitution, he has all the right to mention the Constitution.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying.
And then he's – you know, that's what the courts – that's what about going to court's about. You get to plead your case, and then the other side gets to plead their case. And
exactly.
Then the jury gets to decide what's right.
Now, see, if I'm a prosecutor, I let him plead it.
Yeah.
I'm get him because he broke the law.
Exactly. Cause I think – are they afraid they would lose?
Now, let's remember that this judge that's sitting in there, she's sitting in for another judge, mind you.
I know she is. She is.
That's the one thing that I first caught about the whole thing is that – this particular judge is sitting in for the actual standing judge for that courtroom. So she can make a mess and leave, and bye-bye. You know, so yeah, it's
– that's dirty.
You know.
Dirty. Anyway, you know, I just think it's messed up. You know, some say it's just one more attack at the Constitution. But who knows? You know.
No, I'm not saying that. That's what I'm saying. Is what I'm saying is about it's. See, I was arguing the law, which what they should have been arguing was the law. Who cares about, you know, mention the Constitution all day long, because that's a good thing. There's nothing, because our courts are founded on the Constitution.
I guess maybe the prosecution's afraid that the jury are just going to be stupid and believe the guy and not the law.
That's what a jury is for.
Because a jury, even if it's wrong, technically you could get off.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The jury is the jury. The jury decides. Not a,
what do they call that? Jury nullification? Is that what that's called?
I'm not sure.
Where basically, even if you've committed a crime and the jury thinks that, you know, the law is, you know, shouldn't be there, they can actually, you know, send you free. I think that's called jury nullification.
Yeah, they can. Yes, they can. The jury can. And depending on what, again, what the crime was.
Right, of course. You know, say you got popped with some weed or, you know, something stupid, and, you know, the jury thinks you shouldn't be charged with that type of crime. You know, they could throw it right back at
you. Nah, because that would be a misdemeanor, and those aren't decided by juries. I believe only felonies can be
I guess it depends if you plead not guilty, right?
No. Felony, again, just depending on the statute of crime, whether it's a felony, a murder, or something like that. A misdemeanor does not have a precedence on a jury.
Hmm.
And usually a misdemeanor would end up just with a single judge.
Right. All right, well, we've talked about this one enough. Let's. What do you got? What do you got on the docket?
Okay. Well, Bibby had some words to say, saying that an Iran deal will allow a nuclear breakout in less than a year. This is from, I got this one off of CA.Yahoo News. Good old Bibby's talking about it here from Jerusalem. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yahoo!
Said on Tuesday that the framework for Iranian nuclear agreement being sought by international negotiators will leave Iran with the capability to develop a nuclear weapon in under a year. For nearly a week, the United States, Britain, France, Germany, Russia, and China have been trying to break an impasse in talks aimed at keeping Iran from just that in exchange for easing international sanctions that are crippling its economy. It appears the deal being formed in Luzin will leave Iran with underground facilities, the nuclear reactor in Iraq with advanced centrifuges, Netanyahu said at a parliamentary ceremony. The breakout time for Iran to obtain fissile material for a nuclear bomb will not take years, as we said at the beginning. In our estimation, it will be reduced to under a year, and perhaps far less than that, he said. Israel is believed to have the Middle East's only nuclear arsenal, which has in the past threatened Iran with military attacks, sees a nuclear-armed Iran as an existential threat. So there you go. You got Bibby telling, now he's got a lot of power, reelected now. Flips off our president, gives him the Heimlich. Take that, Obama. And says, hey, these guys are going to have a nuclear bomb in less than a year.
They've been saying that. They've been saying that for 10 years.
But wait a minute here. Now, just hold on a second. We know that they've been doing underground testing, okay? And by the seismographs and by people around the community, they know they're getting close, okay? So, same thing with Korea. We know that Korea is play with it. We know that the explosions are going. I'm going to tell you right now, the first big boom that goes underground, Israel's dropping a bomb.
Won't it be too late?
Mark my words on it. Would it be too late? No, they'll drop a bomb on that site. They'll drop a bomb on Iraq.
Yeah, but what if they've already got a suitcase bomb en route?
The underground facility is, it's in Iraq, or A-R-A-K, Iraq, whatever that is in the country.
Iraq-o.
In the country of Iran.
Oh, okay.
You don't think so? Remember, we just had Sandeo said the same thing.
You know, he said that would be what would piss everyone off against Israel, that they would that they would do something, right?
Bible also says it too. Israel is not going to sit back and let Iran get a nuclear, just flat out. They're not going to do it. Not going to let it happen. Ain't going to happen.
Hmm. I don't know, man, what's going to happen over there. I guess we'll find out tomorrow if we get a deal or what's in the deal. I guess that probably won't matter, really. I mean,
well, I thought late today that there was some problems now and that it may take a little bit longer. I read that earlier today that I think there's some issues going on.
There's always issues.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. I think this is going to be kicked out till June before they make an agreement. That's what I was reading late today.
Interesting. Well,
so there you go. So I just got that. What do you got, Jay?
Well, I've got the, German wings that crashed into the mountainside. You know, now they got the air company, Lufthansa,
yes.
Something
Lufthansa.
Like that. Anyway, they say that the German wings pilot reported deep depression. The co-pilot at the controls of the German jetliner that crashed in the French Alps last week informed Lufthansa in 2009 that he had suffered from severe depression. They also said a search of his records found an email showing that the co-pilot, Andres Lubitz, had informed the company of his condition as he was seeking to rejoin its training program after an absence of several months. The airline said in a statement that Mr. Lubitz had sent its flight training school the email, which included medical documents describing a, quote, previous episode of severe depression. Lufthansa is the parent company of the budget German Wings airline that operated the jet that crashed on March 24th. They also said it had now turned the information over to the German prosecutor investigating the crash in which Mr. Lubitz and the other 149 people aboard the plane were killed. I guess maybe they're going to charge him with murder? It was the first acknowledgement by Lufthansa that it knew of Mr. Lubitz's mental health issues before the crash. And it raised further questions about why the airline had allowed Mr. Lubitz to complete this training and go on to fly passenger jets. It's just, I don't know, Rags. What do you think? Do you think this guy was really crazy, or is he being used as a patsy? Maybe it was some kind of test.
Obviously there's a history here. I mean, this isn't just, these. Now they have the records coming out.
But the government likes to press people.
Lufthansa coming out with their records. It came out as soon as the plane crashed. So I don't know. I mean, it's sad. I mean, it's just, there's no affiliation with this guy. I mean, unless he was secretly somehow MK-ultra, but.
Well, some will argue that maybe he was. The government likes to pick on those who are
they do. Easy targets,
weak.
Those oppressed people. So
if you're a weak person, the government loves to target a weak person. Maybe they knew he wanted to commit suicide, and they used him for some type of experiment.
Yeah, I guess what's interesting to know, because, I can't really recall of a – now, we know terrorists will kill themselves and blow up people and – to kill others.
Most people committing suicide don't.
Don't, exactly. They usually take, they'll take a loved one.
Right. You got the murder suicide.
Murder suicide, stuff like that. But I've never seen it.
Mass.
I've never known a mass, you're so consumed that you just, I'm taking people with me.
Well, it's rumored that a report came out that his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend is pregnant, and he told her that he was going to do something that everyone would remember. So you could
we're past depression, straight to the fucking psych ward.
Straight to the psych ward.
Yeah, straight to the psych ward.
Do not pass go.
Do not pass go.
Oh, man. Shit, we got just a little over, just under a minute here before we take a short break. What do you think is going to happen, the consequences of this accident? Do you think a lot of changes are going to happen? Any kind of changes, Rex?
Other than when you talked last week, Jay, about showing that lock, and now I've seen that, after you talked about it, now I've seen it on several websites and on the news shows, showing the diagram of that lock. So, I think something's going to happen in regards to that lock situation, for one. I think there's going to be some type of new evaluation and some type of new safety procedure and some type of in-flight procedure now for that, I'm going to guess.
I just, they say, in America it's two persons at all time. I just don't know if someone really wants to do something, if that second person is going to be able to do anything. So I don't know. Folks, we got to just take a short break here, and we'll be back in just one short minute. This is another one of my favorites. I just love this song. It's called Fly Away, and it's by Otis McDonald. One of my favorites. Yeah!
Anyway, Fly Away.
Fly Away. Fly Away. All right, folks, so we're coming back here from our little short break there. Rags, what do you got next?
I got a good one here. I think that everybody needs to listen to that. This right here, especially... us that run websites and all the websites out here. This is from the Intel Hub by Alex Thomas. Google thought police to rank websites based on their truth. Huh? In the near future, the pro-Obama search giant plans to rank websites based on their so-called truthfulness. In a world with billions of websites, traffic has become the most important statistic for any webmaster. Now, Google, the world's largest search engine, has a plan to change their rankings that could, in theory, destroy any news outlet that does not report from a mainstream perspective. Did you guys hear that? You will now take your orders and like it. Researchers at Google recently released a report that called for using a system that ranks websites on their trustworthiness rather than their popularity across the web. Instead of counting incoming links, the system would use Google's Knowledge Vault to determine the accuracy of a website. While we have all dealt with disinformation on the internet, the fact that the search giant plans to decide what is and isn't true should have any freedom-minded individual worried, especially when you consider Google's public positions on many controversial topics. An article in The New Scientist immediately makes clear which incorrect articles would be targeted. The internet is stuffed with garbage, and anti-vaccination websites make the front page of Google and fact-free news stories spread like wildfire. Google has devised a fixed rank websites according to their truthfulness. Google search engine currently uses the number of incoming links to a web page as a proxy for quality, determining where it appears in searches. Such pages that many other links to sites are ranked higher. This system has brought us the search engine as we know it today. But the downside is that websites full of misinformation can rise up in the rankings if enough people link to them. Whether it be their position on man-made climate change, vaccinations, or immigration, Google has repeatedly shown themselves to be a left-leaning corporation on many of today's most important issues. On top of that, Google has deep connections to establishment, specifically the Obama administration. So, Jay, what do you think about that there? No longer, if you're not reporting what the Communist News Network, I mean CNN's reporting, or the main subject news channel, or the ABC, the American Obama channel, then you are untruthful, sir, and you will not be ranked.
Wow, that's pretty scary. I think any alternative news site would be pretty worried about this one.
Alternative news? How about regular news? How about any? I mean, just well, you, what? Who's to tell us who the truth is now? Can you believe this?
No, it's no surprise with Google. Well,
but see, this is what's getting me. That's what the thing is. I mean, Google is not your friend, folks.
No.
We used to say, "Hey, Google it," because Google's your friend. No, but Google's not your friend.
Absolutely not.
Google is a bunch of fucking bat. Oops.
Uh oh. Beep.
Can we get that?
I'll add that in later.
Yeah, but I will say this, Google. You will go down in flames when somebody else comes up in the world.
You know, that's what I don't worry. I don't know if I should say worry. I don't know. It doesn't bother me too much because I know there's lots of other avenues to get information. And if you're going to Google for truth, you probably need to search elsewhere. You always should just research and not just type something in Google and be like, yep, that's it, the first link.
But they're going to keep you down, Jay. If they're not going to rank you, if they're trying to find the truth at your website,
they're probably doing this as an income. They want people to use money. They want people to spend money.
I don't know. That's a pretty good story here.
Well, if you're a site like ours, per se, we're more of a content aggregator. You know, a lot of our content is...
We do, but we're pulling like, well, this is from IntelHub. You know, I mean, they're not with mainstream. You know, if I didn't look at IntelHub, I'm sure Mr. Ambulus over there feels pretty good. I mean, he's a writer. They write a lot of their own stories as well.
But won't this just hurt Google in the long run, I would think? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it won't.
I mean, Google wants to own you.
I think Google has gotten too big.
Not only that, you know, like I said, they're friends with the Obama administration.
They're friends with the government.
Right. So, well, there you go.
Well, beware, definitely. We'll keep monitoring that. We'll just keep track of that, because I saw that story about a week or two, and I just, you know, I was, you know, because we're not ranked. I mean, you go Google, we're not ranked on Google at all. We're zero. But we haven't been, you know, we haven't really been around too long. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with that one if they implement
it. We might not be around much longer, Jay, when they keep doing this kind of stuff. The truth. How are people going to get the truth? How is the news going to get? We're just reporting. All we're doing is reporting what's out there.
I think it will be up to that individual to find out their web. It'd be up to the individual to find the information and not just go Google it.
But that's what you usually use to research, is you're using Google.
It is, but you know, a lot of people used Yahoo for a while, and
but you can. But how are you gonna? But what? It's all Yahoo sucks.
Yahoo and Bing and
Bing. I mean, what are they gonna do when you're not popping up? Remember, when you're good, when you're big up on another search engine. Well, that means you're going to be good up in other search engines. But if a search engine decides to put you down, you're not going to show up in those other search engines as much either.
No, we show up in Yahoo pretty. We're pretty good on Yahoo. They're pretty good being on Yahoo as far as ranking us. But Google, they're horrible.
That's because Google hasn't defined our truthfulness yet.
We don't have enough truthfulness.
We're going to get a truthfulness rank.
Yeah, we got
to put
some truthfulness link on our website. And I just wanted to update a story from yesterday. You know those guys that I didn't know there were two, but they rammed the NSA, you know? The guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they were both cross-dressing men. He was a cross-dresser, and he was killed. No one has explained why the man and his passenger ended up in a restricted NSA area in Fort Meade. But the FBI has ruled out terrorism. A new timeline suggests they may have simply taken a wrong turn. Have you ever watched that movie, Wrong Turn? Well, this is probably the turn you did. I just don't buy this, Braggs. Two cross-dressing men who, I mean, just listen to the story. Two cross-dressing men just so happened to make a wrong turn and... They were fired upon by the NSA agency police when they disobeyed orders at a heavily guarded gate, had just stolen a car from a man who had picked them up, and checked into a motel, police said Tuesday. So they're cross-dressing, they stole a car, they took a wrong turn, now they took the worst wrong turn you could ever make, and now they're sitting, one's dead, Ricky Schwatza. Hall, he's 27, he's dead, and his passenger remained hospitalized Tuesday with unspecified injuries. So this is just pretty amazing, Rags, that I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. We'll never know the truth, and of course it's the NSA, so we're definitely never going to know. The story will be long gone in just a couple more days. Because that's the NSA. Alphabet entities, you know?
No, you're right.
They do what they want when they will. When they want will.
We're coming down here at the bottom of the hour.
Want will. But yeah, I just find it just, you know, the anomalies on these are just, yeah. Stole a car, cross dressed, and made a wrong turn.
Doesn't make any sense.
And not that it wasn't like totally military looking dudes at the gate, but we're going to ram it. Yeah, whatever.
It just is weird. They're cross dressers.
I don't know.
Hold on. I'm trying to...
Very interesting, though. Very interesting.
Get our news break lined up here. I think it's a bunch of bullshit, and I think that it's just a story that they've concocted to try to explain why these guys were down there, but I don't know. We got to take a break, folks. When we come back, we got some more topics to come up with. I know Rags has got a couple more, and I've got a couple more lined up. So we will be back here just about 5 or 6 minutes after this news break. So we'll be right back.
The truth is, I'm not really sure what happened.
If you beg to prove, there's no reason to prove.
All right, folks, we're coming back in for the second half of the show. Another one of my favorites by Otis McDonald. Probably not his real name, Otis McDonald. It's called Here If You're Going. So that's the name of that tune. You like that one, don't you, Rags? You like the entrance of that one, don't you?
Yeah, that one's not bad. Not bad at all. I don't know. Is that what he's saying?
I don't know what he's saying. Something to the highway. I don't know.
Something to the
highway. I just like the beat of it. All right, folks. So we're coming here at our second half now. And don't forget to subscribe to us by going to you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just point your browser to youtube.disclosuremedia.net. You can also find us on facebook.com/disclosuremedia. We're also on Twitter. We're on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Disclosure Media. You can also follow Rags at Rags the Man. And you can also follow myself on Twitter at Jason DMN. DMN. Jason DMN. Okay. Anyway, we're on Podomatic and iTunes, so you can download us there too, folks. We're going to get on some more topics here. Rags, what do you got up?
Well, how about one? This one's from RT.com. China is building a great wall of sand in the South China Sea.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. From RT.com. The U.S. is being accused of the U.S. is accusing Beijing of unprecedented land reclamation, claiming that China is creating a great wall of sand of over 4 square kilometers in the disputed area of South China Sea. The move has caused concern over China's territorial intentions. Speaking at a naval conference in Australia, the U.S. Pacific Fleet Commander, Admiral Harry Harris Jr., said China has been pumping sand onto live coral reefs, some of them submerged, and paving over them with concrete. China has now created over 4 square kilometers, or 1.5 square miles, of artificial landmass. But what's really drawn a lot of concern in there and now is unprecedented is the unprecedented land reclamation currently being conducted by China. First reminded that the region is known for its beautiful natural islands. But in sharp contrast, China is creating a great wall of sand with dredges and bulldozers over the course of months. Submerged reefs in the Spiralties and Archipel have been turned into artificial islands with buildings, wharves, and runways. While China claims a vast majority of the sea, it still has territorial disputes with the Philippines, Vietnam, Taiwan, Brunei, and Malaysia. Earlier this month, Vietnam and the Philippines filed a diplomatic protest with Beijing. The main concerns of U.S. military and other regional players are about the purpose of these islands, as they could potentially be used for military and other facilities to strengthen the country's territorial claims. So there's more trouble in the South China Sea there. This made the rounds actually on a lot of sites. RT, this was over on Telhub.
China.
It was on Drudge.
China told us to mind our freaking business.
Yeah, they said, get U.S. piss off.
Stop meddling.
Dong, dong, dong.
Dong, dong, ding, dong.
Now, is that racist?
It probably is. It probably is.
But Saturday Night Live can say it, right? They act
But they're
stuff,
comedians.
Right?
They're allowed. Ding dong, ting tong, tong tong. Come on, we're just having fun, folks.
I know, for us Asian listeners, sorry.
Sorry, you love us. you know, this is just, I think, more of the U.S. I don't know.
Hold on a second. You know what? We live in a country that we can do this. Freedom.
No, you're right, we can.
Creativity, that we can say that. You know what? If you were under China's control, you wouldn't bitch at us because, you know, you think we're being racist. Then live under China's control.
You wouldn't even hear us.
You wouldn't even hear it, dude. You'd be
well, I think they're messing with your connection. You're cutting in and out. They're already messing with you.
I'm here, so.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Darn those.
What do you got there, Jay?
Let's see. I've got it here somewhere in my list of, let's see, is, yeah, this is it right here. Yep, getting there in just 1 second. The Euro, post record quarterly drop. The Euro closed out the worst. Oh, what'd you do there? Why'd you do that for, man? That's not polite. The Euro closed out the worst quarter in its 15-year history on Tuesday. Slammed by monetary policy changes and worries about Greece. While U.S. stocks retreated a day after posting big gains, but the S&P and the NASDAQ registered their ninth straight quarterly gains. The euro skidded 11% against the dollar in the first quarter, reflecting investors' expectations of divergent monetary policies. Investors are betting that the U.S. Federal Reserve will raise interest rates this year, while the European Central Bank's 1 trillion euro economic stimulus program is weakening the euro. The euro on Tuesday was down just 0.8% against the dollar, the greenback. DXY marks its biggest quarterly rise against the world's top six currencies since 2008. Also on Wall Street, energy shares were among the biggest drops, falling in tandem with a decline in crude oil prices, offsetting a lift from 2 days of corporate takeover announcements, including several biotech deals on Monday, and Charter Communications plan to buy Bright House Networks for roughly $10 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial fell 200 points, or 1.1%. S&P lost 18%. And the NASDAQ dropped 46. Today's price action, this is quoted from some stock economic person. Today's price action is a reflection of all the bad in the quarter. The stronger dollar, weaker oil, and in some respects, just a snapback from yesterday's outsized gains. Tomorrow's a new quarter, and there's a new batch of people ready to take some risks. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see an up day. So what do you think about that, Rags? I think they mentioned Greece in here too. Greece's debt negotiations have made investors uneasy. Of course, we've talked about Greece many times on the program. German Chancellor said on Monday that Athens had a certain degree of flexibility on which reforms to implement, but stressed that they must, quote, add up. So, you know, it doesn't look like the euro is doing so good, Rags.
No, not at all. Like I said, I think Greece has a payment date to the IMF somewhere here in the next week, 2 weeks, somewhere on there. It's no surprise that the euro's down. But now that's down to the whole. Let's just don't focus on Greece. Remember that unemployment is very high in Italy, Spain, Portugal, also other parts of Europe. Germany is flatlining right now because they're the only economic factor in the country. Then, of course, obviously Germany is one of the largest growth nations, or I shouldn't say growth, one of the biggest nations with a GNP. They produce, they export, they've got military, they've got cars, they've got mechanical, they've got all sorts of things in Germany where other countries don't in the Eurozone. So they're the last man standing. So we've talked about this before with the Greece bill. I mean, the Germans are sick and tired of supporting everybody. They just rather forget it, go by the way of the Swiss, and get out of the Euro. I mean, it makes the most sense. But to keep this going down the road, we'll just see how it goes.
No, I don't know how long it's going to go on and how low oil is going to go. I saw another report that said $30 soon. So who knows?
I mean, I think it's going to hold tight right now, at least until we get a resolution and things quiet down over in Yemen.
You know, with everything going on, I would think prices would be skyrocketing with oil.
Yeah, well, it's not like the straits are, because they're still pumping.
I know.
I mean, even last week, there's nonstop.
But other times, you would hear some rumbling of something happening, and you would see a spike in oil prices.
I know.
It
used to be that way. When something rumbled in the Middle East, oh, my God, they're going to
– right.
Oil prices spike.
$20 and $10 and $5. And then now it's now prices go down. It's just, I don't know what the hell is going on, man. It's all freaking confusing.
Yeah. It's well, a matter of,
what do you got coming up next?
Well, I got one here. I mean, it's as we talk about wars and everything else like we've been talking about. I got the article here. This is from Defense One. I actually got this from Intel Hub, but they actually linked back over here to Defense One. DefenseOne.com, the link right there. Just pull it up. The U.S. and Russia are the biggest beneficiaries of the global arms boom. What? Imagine that. Really? One of the features of the 21st century... What's that?
I said, who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
One of the features of the 21st century, particularly since the 2008 financial crisis, has been the increasing number of rankings in which the United States is no longer number one. Titles of top arms exporter, however, is not one of them. Of course, we are the American industrial complex. Industrial complex. With the U.S. maintaining its number one spot almost in every year since the Cold War ended. At February's International Defense Exhibition in Abu Dhabi, around 1,200 companies from 56 countries showcased their hardware trying to sell their high-resolution surveillance satellites, Reaper drones, and Kalashnikov rifles to the government officials and military brass in attendance. Plenty of American arms makers were on hand in hopes of maintaining their global dominance. The U.S. controls 31% of the global market for weapons exports from 2010 to 2014, up 29% from 2005 to 2009.
I'm glad to see that military industrial complex doing pretty good.
We were broke between 2007, 2008, 2009, but yet we're up 29% in military. The world's best-known collector of defense spending and weapons trade statistics is the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, where those stats come. Russia comes in at a close second with 27%, a significant increase from 22% in the prior period, followed by China, Germany, and France, each with like maybe 5% of the arms market. The fastest-rising wealth of emerging markets like India and countries like Africa are gobbling up growing shares of weapons in a rapidly changing the arms market. So imagine that. So Boko Haram and all those bastards killing people, they're getting them from us. They're getting them from everybody.
Did you see how much at the bottom there?
What's that?
It says the U.S. Congressional Research Service estimates that global arms transfers rose from about $51 billion in 2004 to $85 billion in 2011, totaling more than $500 billion over that eight-year period.
GE made, $100 billion last year, so there's corporations that make billions like that.
There's six American companies placed among the top eight global firms based on defense-related revenues. Lockheed Martin, of course, topped the list with $35 billion in arms sales, with Boeing in second with $34 billion, Raytheon, $22 billion, Northrop Grumman with $20 billion, and General Dynamics at $19 billion, ranked fourth through sixth, while they ranked fourth through sixth. They got three places. And while United Technologies took eighth place at $12 billion. And who's buying this stuff, Rex? Asia?
Everybody. Why do you think our economy is doing so well? Look at all these companies. They're all American companies.
Russia's biggest buyers were India, China, Algeria, which consume 60% of its arms exports. Wow. China probably most of that, you think?
Yeah, but those are all garbage. Real weapons come from the USA, especially the more advanced weaponry. A lot of it's just AK-47s, rifles. That's always been Russia's mainstay. But yeah, I mean, this is why the American military industrial complex does what it does. You've got the amount of money and why our economy is spinning. As long as these wars are happening, that means more jobs here in the U.S., folks. So keep room for wars, more jobs here, right?
War is great business.
Yeah, it is for some countries.
For some families.
And it's how it is.
Oh, man.
People don't want to talk about it. They don't. They think that they play innocent. I mean, no American should play innocent without listening to the news. Listen to what we're saying. Investigate. Know what's going on in your world. And who cares? I mean, I guess that's as a human being, what do you care? I guess not.
Yeah. Yeah, who cares? I don't care anymore. Just burn us all to hell. Oh, shit. You know, I found this next article pretty hilarious when I read the title, so I just figured we'd talk about it. Scientists suggest using glow-in-the-dark tampons to test rivers for sewage leaks. The secret to finding sewage leaks in rivers could be at your local drugstore. That's right, ladies. Researchers at the University of Sheffield in England are using tampons' absorbent properties to science advantage. Their study, published in the Water and Environment Journal, found that tampons absorb optical brighteners found in common cleaning products, and the particles make the tampons glow under ultraviolet light. By dipping tampons into rivers, the researchers believe they can detect where sewage is seeping into the water stream from nearby households. The scientists left tampons attached to rods in 16 surface water outlets in Sheffield. After a three-day period, 9 of the tampons glowed under UV light. The researchers were then able to identify where the sewage leaks were. Sewage in rivers is very unpleasant, very widespread, and very difficult to track down. That was one of the university professors who led the study. He said, our new method may be unconventional, but it's cheap and it works. So look, scientists figures out something with a simple, easy fix, Rags.
Yeah, just whip out a tampon when you need it and just throw it into the river.
You're right, and you can check to see if there's any sewage in the water.
Hey, honey, pull over real quick. Is it that time of the month? Hey, let's test the water.
That's funny shit, man. I thought that was hilarious when I seen that. I'm like, they just come up with the silliest things, and tampons would be all. Crazy.
Man should not have to follow. Well, I got another one here. This one's actually a pretty good one. This one comes from Blacklisted News. Despite ever-expanding police state measures, cops are worse than ever at solving crimes.
They are.
The number of solved crimes continue to drop. Now, folks, what that means is that they're not solving them. That means that number is going down. That means that more crimes aren't being committed. That means they're solving less of them.
I read somewhere that the murder rate back in the day was at like a 90% solve rate, I think is what it was. And now it's down to like 40 or 50% or something.
It's
pretty, it's around 60, maybe it's 60%. But anyway, it's gone down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Go ahead, continue.
Here we go from looking for an author on this. The irony here is that no matter how much money the state steals from us to fund themselves, and no matter how many tanks or AR-15s they acquire for their SWAT teams, they are solving far fewer crimes than before. Police aren't getting any closer to winning this ridiculous and immoral war on drugs either. So why aren't police solving crimes? The answer to that question can be found by looking at where police allocate much of their time and resources.
Leave potheads alone.
It's under civil asset forfeiture pays. So, meaning busting low-level drug dealers by the dozens and confiscating their drugs, their guns, their cars, their houses, and money pays. Writing tickets for victimless crime pays. Pulling you over for window tint, seat belts, arbitrarily traveling speeds, and expired license plate, these are all things that pay.
That's right.
Not
solving that murder
solving
doesn't.
Crimes. In criminal justice, clearance rates are used as a measure for crimes solved by the police. The clearance rate is calculated by the divided number of crimes that are cleared and charged by being laid by the total number of crimes recorded. In the United States, the murder clearance rate in 1965 was more than 90%. Since the inception of the war on drugs, the murder clearance rate has plummeted to an average of less than 65% per year.
Oh, so this must have been the story I was reading.
Yeah. This decline is in spite of there being far fewer – this is not because there are far fewer murders. The decline is in spite of there is far fewer murders than there was before, but it's also in spite of the new technology, which we have, like CSI, DNA testing, forensic labs, and spying devices. Despite the near-complete erosion of the constitutional protections against unlawful search and seizure, the clearance rate for murder continues to be in free fall. This highlights the fact that no matter how many rights are given up under the freedoms diminished, police cannot guarantee your safety.
Nope.
It's just, and this, get this, here's an actually staggering one, which I thought. It's not just murders that the police investigate. They fail to investigate rapes, too. According to the Department of Justice, there are currently over 400,000 untested rape kits collecting dust in police evidence rooms nationwide. And many other people estimate that this number could actually be as high as 1 million.
Hey, there's no money in solving those crimes.
As a result of the horrific negligence, roughly 3% of rape cases in America are actually solved. This is in spite of the fact that many rape kits have a high chance of leading to arrest, since most rapists are career criminals who have their DNA on file. In some cases, the victims know who their attackers were, but they cannot prosecute these criminals because the evidence has yet to be processed by police.
It's insane.
Wow. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I mean, rape, I think rape is a bad crime. That's worse than
that's
any
one,
other drug.
That, yeah, that's one of the
that
worst.
Is, that's a serious crime and bad. Sorry, I mean, if that was your mom, your wife, your sister, your daughter, you'd come unglued. So,
but there's no money in solving that crime.
Yep.
Jesus, man.
Yep. So there you go, Jay. Thought we did it with the how we're doing it.
Wow, it is that time, isn't it? Wow, I didn't even notice.
It is that time.
It is that time, folks. I want to thank everyone for joining us again for the Nightly News Podcast. I'm Jason and
90
Rex.
90 seconds.
And there's our 90-second mark. Don't forget to come subscribe to us, visit our website. And while I'm talking here, I'm trying to load up the end music here. And don't forget to subscribe to us. Go to disclosuremedia.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter. I'm just all kinds of screwed up here today, folks. We'll be back tomorrow night at 11 p.m. with a new episode of the Nightly News. Rags, have a good night, man. I'll talk to you again.
See ya!